Good morning. Yeah, it's morning still. It's almost 2:30 in the morning, 2:30 a.m. on Friday, March the 1st, 2019. I mean, whoever thought any of us was going to make it to 2019, right? Fuck, it's amazing. And now we're in March. I was thinking about the AM radio, or that little transistor AM/FM radio you would have as a kid that maybe you bought at Radio Shack when that was a thing. And you'd listen to those radio guys with those, and radio gals, radio people, guys and gals with those smoky voices reaching out to somebody out there. Hey man, I'm reaching out to you in Courtyard City. Hang in there. Here's some Led Zeppelin coming right up. Voices like that. This one goes out to Broken Hearted in DeBlain, Texas. A little bit of Elvis to warm up your heart here tonight, lonely one out in Texas. I don't even know if such a place in Texas exists, but if you heard that voice, you'd say, yeah, that's pretty cool. And of course, they always have callers, and I don't have any callers. I could have callers. I don't know. It's this whole podcasting thing. You can go anywhere you want to with it. In theory, I could just have a show and people could call in, and that gets basically, yeah, recorded like that, but then is it live? If it's not live, and that means I'd have to do some type of a live thing, and I don't think SoundCloud has support for that, so it means I'd have to go to YouTube or some other fuckery. I am really trying to limit the means by which I am controlled, and so going to YouTube is just basically like saying, well, I'm gonna move prisons. It's swapping one prison with another. But yeah, they would have callers, and this one goes out to some caller. I guess I have callers. I guess people email me. I don't know if it's a mistake or not, but I made the mistake of kind of putting myself out there in part because of financial desperation. And what's really funny is that it may have helped, but not in the way I expected, not in the way I had hoped. But yeah, you have people listening to what you're saying, and then they can send an email. And then that opens up a box. And this box is a special box for people like me, for people like you. If you've ever watched Logan's Run, you know about box. Sea and sea greens and fish and protein from the sea. Box. If you've never seen the film Logan's Run, I highly recommend it. But yeah, box is interesting, and this is the box. And the box is labeled Trust. You see, like the characters in Logan's Run, you're escaping the city, but as you peel away every layer of the onion, you come across a worm or two. Something not so great, something a little bit iffy. So, like Box, you think Box is there to show you sanctuary, but what he really is going to show you is cold storage. Our good friend Box. But this box is labeled Trust, and trust is hard. If you open yourself up to people, you have to trust them. I can't really say I'm in a great place for trust. I need to trust people. I need to be willing to talk to people, I suppose that's something people need to do, is they need to talk about shit sometimes, but then it's a question of trust. How much of this information do I trust? I'm brutally honest about a lot of bullshit. But why is that? Well, one reason why is because I don't really think privacy is as much a thing as it used to be. So if you spend your life trying to say, well, I'll keep everything private, it might be futile. I think that might be true. I think I'm saddened by it. It saddens me. It is horrifying. But you have to admit to yourself at some point that privacy might not even be a thing any longer. And eventually, if the various groups of people that run the world get their way, maybe there will be no private space inside your head. Maybe everything will be public. Every thought, every emotion, every perspective, every nasty little consideration, everything public out there. And you'll be scored, and you'll have a, there'll be a little frickin' chart of you showing where you are in the pie chart of goodness. And some days you'll be a good little citizen, and some days you won't be so good, but you'll know and you'll obey. Yeah, that's a pretty messed up situation you find yourself in, really. So I don't know. Trust is hard. I have tried in my life to figure out the secret to trust, and I don't know that I have. One of the things I would say to people in that smoky AM radio voice is, hey, baby, you can trust in Jesus. And I think that's true. You can trust in Jesus. You can follow Christ. I believe that's the case. But trust, it is also a thing with respect to that too. People might say, well, I trusted Jesus and I wanted a brand new car, and the brand new car did not happen. Ergo, Jesus cannot be trusted. Listen, I don't believe that's how Jesus works. But, people sometimes they measure trust in terms of things they get. Sometimes people measure trust in terms of shit we all get. Swag. What's in my swag bag? Oh, nothing from you, therefore I do not trust you. So yeah, trust can be very transactional for a lot of people, and those transactions can involve monies and resources and gifts. Quid pro quo. A lot of people in the world today build trust on the basis of quid pro quo. And, to tell you the truth, that isn't the worst basis for trust. It's hard. Trust is hard, even if it's little actions. It doesn't have to be money. It might just be doing favors. You do 50 favors for somebody. Eventually, maybe you don't expect it. It's not demanded, but you would expect something to be done in return. So for people, maybe it's mowing lawns and raking leaves, It's not necessarily bad to build trust that way. I just think you have to realize that there is no transactional way to trust. Going there by the slices doesn't make it any more trustworthy, in my opinion. On the other hand, there are some people who measure trust in terms of things that are taken. And I gotta say, that's kind of my angle with trust. I try to be a generous person, but what I also worry about these days is stuff that people try to take away. Stuff that people try to like say, well, gee, Dan, you're so generous, I'll have a piece of your cake, but maybe I'll take half the cake. I have run into people like this. I try to avoid people like this. Call them soul vampires, call them spirit vampires, energy vampires, call them just vampires. You run into these people in life, and I have no other word but to call them vampires. And vampires take and take and take, and they are not givers, okay? So often I measure trust in terms of how much shit a person has taken. If they've taken nothing, then it seems to me I can trust them. But if they're constantly at my fucking throat, then holy fuck. And I don't know, maybe people see me in the same way. Last couple years of my life, I have been a bit of a bit of a taker, a bit of a person requiring help. I'm not going to lie about it. in the last few years of my life, I've had to ask for help in a couple of situations, and yet I can't really say that I'm back on my feet yet. So it's one of those still, you have to say, well, this is a net loss. So yeah, you know, it's one of those things about trust. You have to be willing to turn that, you have to be willing to turn that inspection, that process on yourself, to take the microscope of ethical awareness and say, okay, what are you doing? What am I doing to reinforce trust? Trust is bogus in a lot of ways. I'm not really sure if it's a real thing. I mean, you can trust people, but really, what does that mean? It usually means up to a point, you know? I trust you up to a point. If you were hungry enough, if you were hungry enough and you had no other options but to eat me or to not live, I don't know. Maybe I trust that you wouldn't be a cannibal. Maybe I trust that you'd let me die in my sleep and then you would chow down. I really, really don't know. That's the thing about trust. How far do you take it? I don't know. You know, that's the thing. That's why relationships are such a mess. You know, they're such a mess because people want to have this kind of perfect trust of the other person. And I think it gets there sometimes, sort of. But it's never really perfect, I don't think. It's never like every little secret and every little corridor of the other person's mind has been revealed. That seems highly unlikely. So there's always some secret space. And is a person less trustworthy if they keep that place to themselves? I don't know. One person's secret space might be on Saturdays, they tell you, oh, I'm going for a run, but really they're driving to their favorite coffee shop to have a coffee that they love, but they want to keep it to themselves. So they tell you they're going for a run. Is that dishonesty? Is that cheating? I don't know. Some people might say it is. Some people's secret space might be just a poem or a poet that they like, and they like to read that poet and they keep it to themselves. It's not so much that they hide it from you, they just never bring it up. That might be their secret little space, the place they go. Is that person untrustworthy because they keep that place to themselves? I don't know. You kind of have to think about it. I know there are people who treat relationships in these absolute terms of perfection. Like, well, if I don't know every little thing. I recall one of the you know, biggest complaints I'd received at one point, one of the biggest yelling sessions, was because I went to see a movie one afternoon and didn't tell the other person where I was going. It was like 4 or 5 hours of being off the radar. 4 or 5 hours of being unavailable. Where were you? I went to a movie. I went to a movie and I turned off my mobile phone. And that resulted in a speech or two. Now, I know there are people who say, well, Dan, if they don't know where you are and there's an emergency, I get it. I get it. On the other hand, if you don't have kids, then what's the emergency? It's probably something that a brother or a sister could deal with as well. So if you're in that relationship stage where there are no kids, there's no marriage, and all you want to do is go see a fucking movie, I don't know. Does that make you untrustworthy if you go to see a movie for 2 or 3 hours? Something stupid, something you know that the other person would not want to see, and even you wonder whether you should see it. Okay? Really? 3 or 4 hours off the radar. Yeah, so I don't really know. And if you're going to tell me that, you know, if you tell them everything, if you're honest about everything, that's always best. I have at least one case where I don't know that that's true either. I just don't know. You know, people love to hear good news, okay? They love to hear being told everything's going to be fine. They don't want to hear bad news. They don't want to hear that things might not always be okay. I know that seems complicated, but it's not. It's pretty simple. You want to talk about trust? Trust is also knowing that someone is going to be there if the news isn't so great, if the news is shitty, if the news is, holy fuck, I have cancer. If someone tells you that, someone says, I have cancer, or my mom has cancer, or my sister has cancer. Part of trust is that people will be there when the news is crap. The news is terribly, terribly shitty crap. I don't have a job, and what's worse is it might be my fault, and I might not fit. And I don't know a way through this. And if I had a little help, who knows? But truly, who wants to help that? Trust is believing that a person is going to be there even if the news is shit. Even if the message is, I am a loser, I am a failure, I do not see how I'm going to get through all this. I think reality has turned out to be bogus, but I also know you can't build a life on that. But here's the thing, though. If you say all that and you say that and you say to yourself, well, if someone really loves you, they're going to love you. No, guys, listen. Okay? If love has ever been a thing of permanence, which means forever, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. I don't really know. But what I can tell you is modern love, the love that I've seen in this world, it's highly transactional, highly contingent. It's based upon a set of constraints. And if those constraints, any of them, fail in terms of preventing the darkness, then the relationship just goes away. And you might want to say, well, Dan, that's not real love. Well, I don't know. What is real love? Because I see people who stay together and they'll say, well, we're staying together for the kids, and God bless them. You should stay together for the kids. But if that's the only reason you're with somebody, well, then I guess that's a really tough life too, isn't it? But what if there aren't any kids? What if the only thing there is basically another person, and all of a sudden you become the person, or they become the person that isn't always happy, that doesn't always have something nice to say? What happens when you're the person that feels at odds with the world and doesn't fit? And there doesn't appear to be a way, a means by which any of that's going to change anytime soon. Are people committed to going down with the ship? This is the thing. When you consider trust, always recognize the following: that it's either it means something that is binary, which means it's on or it's off. And if it's on, people do. They go down with the ship together. Because that's how big that trust is, that connection. On the other hand, trust might not be binary, it might be by the fractions. And at a certain point, listen, at a certain point, trust runs out. Trust runs out. Next up on stage, brevity. That's another thing too. I have a bad habit of when I hear a word, asking myself, would this make a good name for a stripper? Like trust. That was trust on stage. Trust is running off a stage. Trust runs out. Trust is running out. Next up on stage, brevity. Brevity. Next up. I think brevity is a good name for a stripper. I think trust is a good name for a stripper. There are a lot of good stripper names if you think about it. Brevity up on stage. Brevity up on stage. So, no, I don't have any good solutions to the trust problem. I don't know that you can treat people like they're your pets or robots or slaves. I don't think you can monitor them all the time, and I don't think you should. I think a big part of trust, in my opinion, is realizing that people need space and that privacy is, is a nice thing to have, even if it's make-believe, even if nothing is private, even if we get to the point where everything is public. I still think people will want to be fooled into believing that they have some privacy. I think people desire it. I think people desire something that they can say, at least on some level, this is mine, even if it's just a part of the brain, a part of your soul, a part of your mind that you can cut off and say, this is mine. No one else gets it. No one else gets to take it. This is the piece that remains me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with people falling in love and still having their own little private worlds that they keep to themselves, as long as those things are just what they are. But if those worlds become so big that they become bigger than the relationship, then obviously there's a problem. So yeah, I don't know. Trust is not a very useful word when you think about it, because what does it really say? I trust you. You will trust me up to a point. I will trust you up to a point. That is the truth about trust. Trust is a lot like a jar of water, If you keep refilling it, you're fine. But it can eventually go empty if it isn't refilled. And that, to me, is trust. And sometimes you go through life and your jar is mostly empty. You don't have a lot of extra trust for anybody. That's kind of where I'm at these days. I'm at the point where it's like, you know what? Doesn't take much to spook me. Doesn't take much to scare me away. But then I have been in periods of my life for different reasons, probably loneliness. Which is funny because loneliness right now isn't really causing me to want to trust many people, but loneliness does cause you to want to trust people. I don't know. That's a big topic, loneliness. But I have been lonely and I've had other reasons where I've wanted to just trust people. Trust too many people. What am I talking about? This is stupid. You know what? Don't trust anything but the cold steel of a 357 Magnum. I'm kidding. But that would make a great commercial, right? For Smith and Wesson. You want to trust something? Trust the cold steel of your Smith and Wesson snub-nosed revolver. On sale at Walmart for $55.95. There you go. Trust.